Hello, this is Pastor Galen from Chicago First Church, and welcome to our podcast. Before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're listening from, we're glad that you're here. We hope that the message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. If you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast could be your first step to joining us at C1 in person sometime, or in our online community that meets every Sunday at c1naz.org/live. Well, thanks again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message, and more importantly, we pray that you would experience God and that you're encouraged today.
Well, it is 2021. There's a lot going on. I have a lot to communicate today in this Difference Maker series. One of the things that I want to make you aware of is we will have our second gathering of Leadwell. And it will happen on January 23rd at 9 a.m. It'll be on Zoom this time. And Leadwell is a gathering designed to encourage, inform, and network leaders because we believe everyone wins when leaders get better. It's our desire Leadwell will be the outcome of our time together and a source that leaders can draw from. So if you are involved in leading anything, maybe in the business world, maybe you coach a team, right? Maybe you're in ministry here at the church. Whatever it is, wherever you are leading, and sometimes this can even come down to family issues, we would encourage you to come and be part of this gathering. This time when we meet, Mr. David Hetrick, who's a graduate of Purdue University, also the president of Executive Construction Company. Dave has overseen the development of more than 5 million square feet of office space and technology space. He's an incredible leader, recognized around the city, and also a part of C1. And we're grateful to have Dave and Rhonda on our team. He's going to be talking in that hour or hour and 10 minutes, so it's how long it lasts, about conflict resolution. And so I would encourage you to join us on that day. You can do so by, you can register by texting C1 Next Step to 474747, and there'll be a place. We do need to know if you're coming, so please make it a point to be part of that gathering. Difference Maker. You are right now making a difference in the world around you. And before I go any farther, I want to prove it to you. Because sometimes we think that other people make a difference, but really what we say, what we do, how we function really isn't making any difference at all, but it is. And I want to do so by introducing you to Edward Lorenz. He was a mathematician and a meteorologist who was at MIT for 40 years studying patterns in weather. And they had got to a point in the mid-60s when they believed that they were going to be able to accurately predict what was happening. And Edwin Lorenz noticed some things. There were 12 variables or so that they thought would predict, but he noticed that when they had the very same variables and they fed them into the computer system, the outcome wasn't the same. He developed something called chaos theory. And chaos theory is the belief that regardless of how identical things are put in motion, the outcomes are going to be different because of the fact that there are things that are imperceptible that you can't see that are affecting what's going on. This is the same pendulum six times. It is begun the same way by the same person at the same height. Watch what happens. For a while, it's a double pendulum. For a while, all of them seem to be doing the same thing, which is what you would expect. But before long, you're going to begin to notice that things go differently. They go almost in a chaotic fashion. And it's happening because there are things that at the outset, when this began, there were things that were radically different that you couldn't see. They were minute. You didn't even know they were there. This explains a lot of things, one of which is that Jesus said to in John chapter 3 that the wind blows where it blows, right? There's things that happen that we don't know. This is why you can raise kids in the same family, same home, same rules, everything else, and we turn out drastically different. It's called the butterfly effect. Now, here's what he determined. The flap of a butterfly's wings on a given day can impact the formation, size, and pathway of a tornado formed weeks later. Yeah, and if that's true, if the flap of a butterfly's wings can make that big of a difference, imagine the differences that can occur when you flap yours. Or in boomer language, if we flap this. Flap our gums, right? There are things that are happening. See, the question for each of us today is not are we making a difference, and not just a small difference, a big difference. It's what kind of difference are we making? Because every response you give to someone, every word we speak, every look, I mean, you've been impacted, your day has been changed when someone, they didn't even say anything, just the way they looked at you made a huge difference. A hand on the shoulder, a critical remark. All of these things are coming into the fact that we have been called to do something with this extraordinary power. And I want to introduce you today to someone who was a difference maker. The scripture, and there's only two or three verses that we're going to read, come from the book of 2 Timothy. Now, every time I preach out of 2 Timothy, I always want to remind us of the fact that when you think 2 Timothy, you think the Apostle Paul, because that's who's writing the letter, but you have to think dungeon. This is Mamertine Prison in Rome, and below that church that was erected there, and it's pretty cool that that's kind of what God does. You throw his followers in prison, and he'll build a church right on top of the prison. But Mamertine Prison was one of the worst, most foulest dungeons that there was in Rome. And both Peter and Paul, we believe, were sent there at some point in time. Now, when you went to Mamertine Prison, you weren't awaiting bail. You went to Mamertine Prison to die. They would put you in this hole in the ground that was underneath the sewers that Rome is so popular for creating. It was dark, it was disgusting, it was dangerous. There, for any period of time, you would die of a disease if the people you were down in this black hole with didn't kill you. And if you come out of there, you come out of there for the same reason that they brought Peter and the Apostle Paul out, to die. Paul knew this. And he's dictating a letter to Timothy, probably up out of a hole. And he's got some things on his mind. What would be on your mind? What would you be thinking about? Paul was thinking about where he was going. He talks about that. But he also begins to think about the people that he's been with. And he mentions a person named Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus is an individual who Paul would have met about 10 years ago in Ephesus. He came to faith and never got over it. He never, ever got over the fact that Jesus had forgiven him of his sins and that there were people, the church was this powerful thing, and he got to be a part of it, and he sought Paul out. And so watch what happens now in these just three verses of scripture when Paul, from the dungeon, is reflecting on Onesiphorus. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. I want to take a look at two or three things that you and I can do today to make a difference. These are things that we have the privilege and the opportunity. I mean, this is stuff we can do. We have a tendency when we think about difference makers to think of big names, right? Like the Apostle Paul or so many others. But this is something that every single one of us can do that will absolutely produce something positive in the world around us and in the kingdom. Notice it says he often refreshed me. Here's what we know about difference makers. Difference makers commit. This wasn't a drive-by. This wasn't, oh, I thought of you the other day and sent you a note. This was someone who said, I see somebody who I love and care about, and they're hurting, and everybody else has deserted them, and I'm committing to them. Just when everybody else was decommitting, Onesiphorus was part of a few who committed. They were there. Difference makers commit. Difference makers don't live like the culture that we're in, which is kind of the I'll be there if I can kind of thing. Oh no, Onesiphorus had made up his mind that no matter what else happened, he was going to find Paul and he was going to refresh him. Difference makers make a decision to make a positive impact. He often refreshed me. They committed to being positive in a negative world. They committed to finding out what was right. It wasn't dependent upon what somebody else did or how somebody else moved. It was because he had been called to do that. Difference makers commit. And if you want to make a difference in the world in a positive way, because you're going to make a difference, we need to discern and decide where we're going to give ourselves and then give ourselves to it. We need to commit to it. We need to know that the people that we are trying to refresh can count on us in times of difficulty. Difference makers commit. And you see a second trait of honest Sepphoris. He was not ashamed of my chains. Difference makers are unashamed. They've committed and they're in. And when everyone else deserts, they still show up. It's easy for us to think heroically about the Apostle Paul 2,000 years later. But the truth of the matter is that there were all kinds of accusations swirling. Nero was about to set Rome on fire, and or there had been a fire, and he was blaming it on the Christians. And there was all, during Paul's whole life after he became a believer, he had critic after critic after critic. But honest Sepphoris, whatever else was said about him, was not ashamed of the fact that he was his friend. Not ashamed of my chains. In an incredible way, we will make a difference in people's life when everyone else walks away and we walk in. Not ashamed of the chains, not ashamed of the issues that they may be dealing with, or maybe right or wrong, whatever, to recognize I'm not gonna be driven by shame. I'm not gonna show up because of my ego, and I'm not gonna quit because of my ego. Unashamed to call him friend. Difference makers believe when others don't. They're driven by love. And Jesus was hailed by the crowds until he was placed on a cross. Oh, that we would be people who were unashamed of the gospel and unashamed of the difficulties that the very people we've been called to reach are dealing with. Unashamed. I just read a book this last week recommended by Diana Bartling, a former member of C1 who's moved away as a social worker, and it's called Sober Mercies. If you are dealing with an addiction or you know someone who is, it'd be a really good book. And it was a book about this lady who had became an addict, an alcoholic, and she did so while she was part of the church, and but it had taken over her life in extraordinary ways. And when she finally got to a place where she walked into a meeting, she said, instantly there was more community in that meeting than, frankly, I'd experienced in the church. And she goes, it's on me. I'm not blaming the church. But she said, I tried to figure out how could this group of drunks, and those are her words, be so helpful in me to find things there that I didn't find in the church. And here's what she said. I began to believe that people bond more deeply over shared brokenness than they do over shared beliefs. Shared brokenness. The idea, because we not only need to not be ashamed of others, we need to not be ashamed to tell our own story. We need to be willing to celebrate recovery every Friday night. Hurts, habits, and hangups is a place where it's just transparent. We're not pretending that we're above anything, but we gather together, and folks gather together there because it's no longer about ego or shame. We are committed to making a difference. Difference makers are unashamed. And then, difference makers serve hard until they find. Here's the boomer way of saying that. Difference makers pack a lunch. We used to say that when I was a kid. Someone would say something, well, you better pack a lunch because it's going to, you know. I remember a couple guys getting ready to get in a fight when I was in high school. And one of them said, I'm going to do this. And the guy said, well, you better pack a lunch because it's going to explain it to everybody under 40, will you? There are some leaders in this room right now who have given yourself to a calling and you're screaming amen in your head because you know that you don't get the results immediately that you often want. You know that it takes tempered resilience. It takes a decision to go have long obedience, one person said, in the same direction. We're not. If you were a friend and you said, hey, Honest Sepphoris, what are you doing this weekend? Hey, I'm gonna go find Paul. I'm gonna go, hey, I'll go with you. And so you leave on Friday or whatever, and you can't find him Saturday morning. Hey, well, I guess we tried. And Honest Sepphoris going, well, we're not done. Have you ever had somebody offer to help you with something, maybe around the house or whatever, and it turned into a bigger job than they thought it was, and you could almost feel them going, how do I escape? That would have been any of us if we went with Honest the Forest, because he wasn't leaving until. If you want to make a difference, pack a lunch. I remember as a new Christian, because the church had literally saved my life. Coming to Christ had saved my life, and God used the church to do it. Instantly, I began to think about all of those who were still out there, and I went to the pastor and I said, "Pastor, so could I get some folks together on a Thursday night, and we're just going to go call on people. We're going to knock on people's doors who have visited, or who may have just kind of touched the edge, or people that we're praying for." And he said, "Yeah." He says, "You should get up on Sunday and tell the church and invite them to come with you." And I'm like, "Yeah." And so I was the prodigal in my home church. So everybody loved Lindy and I and embraced us, and I mean, we were just welcomed in, and I stood up, and people were like, "Oh, Brian's saved, yeah, great." And I said, "Here's what we're gonna do, and we're gonna this Thursday, we're gonna go see people," and they go, "Yay!" And everybody's like, "Yay!" And the hallelujah chorus was ringing, and everything. And one person showed up on Thursday night, and he said, "I don't want to go calling. The only reason I'm here is because I knew nobody else would show up, and I couldn't bear the thought of you being here alone." So we went through. I knew how I was supposed to react to that, but I was mad. How can this church be? Now, here's the kind of language. The church is full of people who don't care. They don't care about others. They don't care about the lost. Made an appointment with the pastor the next day. Right? "Hey, well, I don't know what's wrong. You know, nobody cares about lost people and blah, blah, blah." And he goes, "Brian, why'd you do this in the first place?" I said, "Because Jesus told me to." He goes, "Then what are you griping about? He told you to. And you need to do what he told you to do." And 30 years later, I've been doing it ever since. It's going to take a decision that you're going to do what God's called you to do. You're going to pray until. You're going to sacrifice until. You're going to give until. You're going to serve until, to make a difference around you. So I want to talk to you about your church and you with regard to this reality, this opportunity that we have. It's interesting, as we have gotten to know all of the folks in REC for 40 years in the community. The community knows us as First Nazarene, the Naz, or some variation of that. And we've been talking, I mean, they literally have named us. I mean, that's just whatever else, that's kind of what they call it. And it's interesting when you look at that, because originally we were First Church of Nazarene, Chicago First, and that was 100 years ago. And we were named First because we were the first Nazarene church in the Midwest. And that no longer holds, but here's what you need to know about a difference-making church. We have been a little reluctant to let that go because it is our conviction. This we have packed a lunch over, that we want to be somebody's first church. We want to be the place that reaches people who no one else is reaching. We're not interested in trading members with a bunch of other folks around. No. We want to be somebody's first church. That's a difference making. And then the second thing is that we're Nazarene, and what's a Nazawat, I think, is how we've viewed that in the past. But we were given a name because Jesus was from Nazareth. He was a Nazarene. And the talk about Nazareth was, can anything good come from there, right? And so the founders of our movement said, that's just who we need to be. The least, the last, the lost, that's what we're going to be. A difference-making church packs a lunch over what they want to accomplish. For several years, we've had a paradigm or a way of thinking called Elevate, which is what we intend to do, what we want to do. And every couple of years, we bring you what we've accomplished and what we're looking to accomplish, and then we ask you to give us an idea of what you're going to be able to do in terms of serving, in terms of giving, over the next 24 months or so. And we were ready to launch that last March when COVID hit and everything shut down. And we had talked about the things that we were going to accomplish. Here's what I want you to know. These things that we said we're going to accomplish, we're still committed to. We had committed to the fact that to be a difference-making church, we had to be strong right here. We can send stuff all over the world. We can try to do stuff outside, but our local church needs to be strong. And so you have seen several things happen, even through COVID. Pastor Galen has begun to make a connection. We want to be an intergenerational church. And so Galen's like a year or two younger than me. And so together, we're able to come to the table as an executive team with Pastor Phil, and we're thinking about rec families, you need to know that we're committed. We want to make sure that we do that. You've seen AJ come on board and some other things that have happened. We need to be strong right where we are. And that strength at home is an incredibly important. So you've seen more. Pastor Bob came on full time and has helped us with pastoral care and senior adult ministry, and all of those things are coming in. We committed that we wanted to be committed to missions. We didn't want anybody on the mission field, more than 500 missionaries out there that you support every single week. We didn't want anybody to not have the support and the help they needed. And we're able, 162 different world areas. We haven't missed a moment with that because of your faithfulness. That's the difference. That's packing a lunch right there. We want to send people on mission trips. We want to engage. We don't ever want to forget that we've been called outside of our local community, even as we've been called inside. We made a commitment to multiply. This commitment to multiply, we're the mother church of the Midwest, and we intend to give birth. We intend to make a difference. Our call is to leverage the resources of a large church with the personality proximity of a small church in order to develop the church, to birth the church where it's needed most, which is right down the block. Between 2005 and 2015, more than 900 churches closed in Chicagoland. They estimate that because of COVID, about 30 to 35% of the churches in America are going to close. And that was even before that. Some of you have come to be part of our congregation because the church you were in closed. That is not okay with us. We want to do everything that we can to make a difference. So we were part of church planting. You planted a church this last year in the worship center of Chicago in our Austin neighborhood, or out of our Austin neighborhood. You were part of a church plant in Morris. We were committed to that. We've packed a lunch over that. We're also working on offsite ministry. Prior to COVID, our Celebrate Recovery was in Secular Treatment Center. We want to expand that as when the doors reopen again. But we're also doing ministry in places like Englewood, and we were doing ministry in Uptown. We wanted to get outside and make a big difference there. We have committed to network with By the Hand. By the way, we asked for an offering on Christmas Eve that we were going to give 100% away, and we ask you to consider contributing so that we could connect By the Hand, our after-school or the after-school program in Austin, with HRET, H-R-E-T, which is less than a mile from here, as a holistic riding equestrian therapy, and connect these kids who might not ever have a chance in a normal setting to feel what it's like to be on a farm and to be able to ride a horse. And the video was incredible. You gave over $26,000 to that cause in one night, in one moment. Yeah, we packed a lunch. We intend to continue to do that. We also want to do networking. Those churches that are closing and those churches that are in trouble, we have been helping churches that are in transitions. I'll meet this afternoon with a church not too far from here that's facing a transition, and we're going to be able to provide some help. I preached over there a couple of times. Some of you, we've got several in this room who have preached in some of those locations, Brandon Hurd and Paul Tim and some others. And when I'm not here, one of the things I may be doing that day is I may be in one of those locations, because it's not okay. We want the church to be on the corner in the neighborhood, and that's not going to happen if we just talk about it. We have to commit to it. And at some point in time, I may announce some locations and ask some of you for whom it may be closer to your home to be part of that. Church plants, churches in crisis, refocusing, and leadership multiplication. This is interesting. Over the last 6 years, three of our former staff have become senior pastors. Literally, they're leading hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other people, and they stepped into those roles from here. We have two local licensed ministers. That means you're in on the track for ordination. We have three district licensed ministers, again, and we have one lay minister that leads Celebrate Recovery, Kathy. Now, ordination in the Church of Nazarene is not like it is in a lot of places. It doesn't take a meeting of the board and some elders, and they gather. It can be up to a 10-year process. And we are very, very committed. And on top of all that, we talk about multiplying leaders. On top of all that, there's a host of you who every single week are providing leadership in ministry that without which we could not go forward. We want to multiply ministers. That's what multiply leaders. That's what Lead Well is about. Committed to multiply. So that's what we're doing. We've shifted some things around. I want to talk about what you can do now. First of all, I would encourage you, if you want to get the most out of the church, your church experience, you want to make a difference, connect with us. All the time, we find out that there are a lot of you who will come for a long time before we even know you're here. Sometimes folks will be part of, but they don't ever really connect, and they'll sit quietly. And if that's where you are and that's where you want to stay, okay. But I just challenge you to consider coming out of the bleachers and onto the field and engaging in what's happening. Connect. Let us know where you are. We care about you. If you're online, man, we care about you. You're part of us. You may not know it, but we're your church now. Until you find another one, we're it, and we want to help. We want to serve. Secondly, we challenge you to engage. To engage. What's your next step spiritually? How long has it been since you took a step spiritually? Now, just sit on that for a second. How long has it been since you did something new in your spiritual life? Have you been baptized? Have you been part of a life group? Have you committed to ministry? Engage and allow God to move. And then, to be a difference maker, invest. Are you giving to support your church? If there's anything in the world that the enemy would like to defund, it's the local church. I promise you. Because all the other ministries, all the other paradigms, all the other things that are happening around the world have their roots in a local church. Those additional ministries are because there's a local church. And sometimes it's more fun to give to projects than it is to help pay the sewer bill, right? Or the things that have to happen locally. And so I challenge you, we're not doing this because we need your money. It's not that at all. It's the issue is that giving and investing is a discipleship issue, an issue of the heart. And in the times like COVID and everything gets scared, we can just stop. We can go into defensive mode. And that is not what a difference maker does. Every time we invest together, we accomplish more together than we ever will accomplish individually. The concept of tithing, the concept of supporting the local church is a biblical one, and it will make a difference more than you know. Now, here's the thing. Some of us may have lost income. We may be at a point where there's just nothing there. That's okay. We're not responsible for what we don't have. We are responsible for what we do have. As we head into a new year, I would challenge you to take a look at the difference you're making as you give financially, for your sake. I'm grateful for my country. It's been a rough week. It's been a rough year. I'm grateful for my country. I believe in our country. But I know my country cannot save either itself or the rest of the world. There are people all the time that say, Pastor, you should say more about this or say more about that. This is the problem. This is where change will emanate from. Only Jesus can do that, and his plan to do it is through the difference makers in a local church. I read this on Twitter this last week. Now, you know, I can't even say Twitter now without all kinds of chaos and conflict. God is in control, but he doesn't want us to lean on a shovel and pray for a hole. That's pretty good. Commit. So here's the question I want you to think about. Who was your honest Sephorus? Who was there often and unashamed and committed to you until? Contact that person today. As the Lord gives you, and it may have been somebody that flapped their wings in your life. It was just a moment maybe, or two or three or four, whatever it was, however big. We need to say thank you for those who have held out for us. And then who will you be an honest Sephorus to or for? Who? The Holy Spirit's faithful. You're at home right now, there's a face coming to your mind. You're in the building right now, you're thinking of somebody. Somebody who everybody else may have deserted, everybody else may have given up on, or a situation or circumstance where you can make a difference. As I pray in a moment, I want you to think about the difference that your wings make. And then think about the difference if a whole bunch of us decide that our role is to be the honest Sephorus. Not the jury, not the judge, just the one who is, because of God's grace to us, reaching out. If you need to accept Christ as your Savior and either start over or start out with him, I'm going to challenge you to do it right now. If there's things that need to be dealt with that will enable you to flap your spiritual wings, then he can move in your heart right now. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the difference that you have made, both because of your shed blood on the cross and because of those who you have called around us. Now, Lord, where there is someone sitting in their living room or maybe from a hospital bed or even in this room who needs to start out or start over, and they know it, they need to reflect. There's things that need to change. We submit our hearts to you, and we pray, Lord, that you be the change. While it's true that you don't want us to just lean on a shovel and pray, the truth is that without prayer, our shovels can't penetrate. We need a work of grace in our heart. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Sanctify us. Forgive us. Draw us to yourself that we may make a difference. Because at the end of the day, this is your house. At the end of the day, this is your gathering. This is your environment. Whether the physical building or the folks who are gathered with us online, this is your house, and have your way in it. And to you be all the glory forever and ever. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.
Thanks again for joining us on C1's podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, go to c1naz.org and click on Next Steps. There on our website, you can also find our service times and more information about our church. We'd also invite you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll always have the newest episodes. And feel free to share today's podcast with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us, and have a good day.